We want to celebrate who Jesus is and what he has done. And that's my aim for the remainder of the Sundays we have this year, is just to celebrate who Jesus is and what he has done. And for John chapter 10, let me give you a little bit of context from the previous chapter. Jesus had healed a man on his way to Jerusalem, a man who had been born blind. Said he was blind since birth. And on this particular occasion, he had spit in the dirt, took the mud and put it on the man's eyes and told the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man did as he was told, and his eyes were opened. He gained his sight. Had been blind since birth. That happened on the Sabbath. Now the Pharisees had been, having this ongoing conversation with Jesus. Who are you really? And why do you violate our rules? And so the Pharisees called this previously blind man in to question him about Jesus. Who is he? What? How did he do that? And the blind man essentially said, look, I was blind, now I see. How could that be anything but the power of God? That was basically his testimony, the Pharisees. And they said, you're a sinner, get on out of here. And they called his parents in. What happened? Well, you'll have to ask him what happened. We know he was born blind and now he sees. They didn't like them either. And they made up these accusations. Well, Jesus must be demon-possessed. He claims he has the power of God. He's done these things on the Sabbath. He must be demon-possessed. Jesus sort of made fun of them. You see, from chapter 9, the crux of it is a blind man could see that he was God. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law were blind to the truth. And Jesus sort of tells a story about them at the beginning of chapter 10. He says, very truly, I tell you. And he began to tell a story about a sheep pen. And he said, now there are those who try to get into the pen by climbing over the wall. Thieves and robbers do that. That's what thieves and robbers do. Well, he was talking about the Pharisees, those teachers of the law who were misleading people and trying to take them out of the kingdom of God. But they didn't get it. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And so he got a little more personal. He got a little more direct. But before we read that, and we're going to pick up in verse 7 in just a moment, let's just talk a little bit about the sheep herding practice of their day. Bit different than what might happen in West Texas. Their shepherds typically had a flock that they cared for daily, and they led the sheep from the front. They didn't get a bunch of cowboys and drive them to the pens, They led the sheep, and they did so by voice commands. The shepherd would have his own set of calls and commands and maybe little songs that he used to communicate with his sheep. And so the sheep knew the shepherd's voice, and they followed the shepherd. Now, he had a staff to correct them when they didn't follow well, but overall, he could move the sheep simply by voice commands. It's been said that in their day, several shepherds could put their flocks in the same pen, and then the next morning, a shepherd could sort his simply by voice command. He could speak to the sheep and they would follow him. Now, a sheep pen probably was built with a rock wall. Not high, doesn't take a tall one to keep sheep in. Maybe waist-high rock wall. Perhaps in some places, they would put branches from thorn bushes along the top to just make it more difficult for predators to get in or sheep to get out. And there would typically be an archway built into this wall and a door or a gate. If it was near houses or near town, it probably had a door in it. So you could put the sheep in there, shut it, leave them there for the night. If this pen was out in the hills, It might have the archway, but no door or gate. And so the shepherd, when he put the sheep in the pen, would stay in the doorway. He would might even sleep there to guard the sheep. The shepherd became the door or the gate, and would stand between the sheep and anything that tried to take the sheep away. Well, since the Pharisees were not adequately offended at Jesus' first talk about the sheep pen, he got a little more direct, and he said again, "Truly, truly, I'm saying this to you." That's how we pick it up in verse 7. "Therefore, Jesus said again, 'Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So these religious leaders had continued to ask Jesus who he was and if he claimed to be from God. They asked, "Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus kept on telling these stories, and he kept on telling them to look at his actions. "See what I'm doing." In other words, read the evidence. Pay attention. You know the law and the prophets. You know what is said of the Messiah. Look around. See what's going on here. The courtyard here, the sheep pen, is God's kingdom. That's what he's talking about. And he said, "I am the gate. I am the door to the kingdom." And verse 8's a little bit puzzling. "All who have come before me are thieves and robbers." What does he mean, those who have come before him? Was he talking about the people who previously had come? Surely he wasn't talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses or David. If the reference is to people coming before him in time, earlier in time, he must be referring to the kings of the late centuries, those who came not long before him, who had misled Israel, false leaders, false teachers. Perhaps that's who he was talking about, those who had come and led Israel astray. If the reference is not about time, if he's saying those who come stand before me are thieves and robbers, then he's speaking to those that were listening. You've come before me, but I'm not letting you in because I don't know you. He's talking about the Pharisees. You stand here before me, but I don't know you, so I've turned you away. He guarded the sheep from the thieves and robbers. Look at verse 9. He used that "I am" phrase again. "I am the gate. whoever enters through me will be saved. Those who legitimately come into the kingdom through Jesus are safe and secure. He said, my sheep are safe with me. Memorize that. Let it soak into your brain and to your heart. Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They have the freedom to grace. They will follow me out and in, and I will give them good pasture, and they will be safe and secure with me. Does that remind you of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, even the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Can you get a mental picture of Jesus leading his sheep, leading us like a good shepherd leads his sheep? The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you have life and have it to the full, have abundant life. That's another good one to remember. In fact, I encourage you just to memorize John 10, 9, and 10. Let's read it again. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came to this world in human flesh, in order to give us life, abundant life. If he never does anything else for us, now he does, but if Jesus never did another thing for him, then we still praise his name for what he did on the cross. Thanksgiving's coming. That's enough to give thanks for right there. We must be eternally grateful for what he has done. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Do you see there the ownership? You're my sheep, he says. I'm not like the hired hand who might refuse to protect you when danger comes. I will lay down my life for you. He's the kind of shepherd who will stand between the wolves and the sheep. He will face the hungry bear when it comes for the lamb. Jesus stood in the face of Satan and went willingly to the cross for our lives. He stood in the gate. He came that we might have life. Now, it is a good it's just good for a shepherd to be that dedicated to his job, right? I'll give my life for the sheep. But a dead shepherd is no longer any good to the sheep. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. And so he rose from the grave on that Sunday. Little did the listeners know that Jesus would be dying for them very soon on a Friday afternoon, dying on a cross for them and for us, and raised from the grave on Sunday morning. Jesus has authority over death. He has authority over the evil one. May we give him praise. He did it for you. In verses 11 and 14, We notice again that I am phrase. I am the good shepherd, he says. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Do you know the Lord's voice? Do you know his voice? Look at verse 16. This is a good one. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to the sound of my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. There's one kingdom, one gate. Jesus said, I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. Now that ought to give you cause to shout, because we're the other flock. We're the ones outside of Israel. We're the non-Jewish sheep, the Gentiles. And Jesus said, I'm bringing you too. And I'm not going to have two different flocks in the kingdom. I'm not going to have two different groups in the kingdom or many different groups. There won't be denominational sections in heaven as much as we joke about it. He said, there is one flock, one kingdom, and I am the shepherd. Do you love him? The Father does. Let me ask you, did Jesus identify himself as the Son of God? Did he call himself the Messiah, the Savior of mankind? Absolutely he did. Not so much in those words, but even the Pharisees understood his claims, and that's why they killed him. They said, you claim to be God. That's blasphemy. Well, it's not blasphemy if you are God. He said, you work on the Sabbath. He said, it was made for us. I made it. How can you forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Yep. So they killed him for it. Now, doubters today like to claim that Jesus never said, I am the Son of God. They say the church has made that up. Maybe he didn't use those words. We know he didn't say it in English. But look at the claims here. He is definitely saying, I'm the one. I and the Father are one. I have come that you may have life. That's no one except the Messiah. Only by the power of God could he do these things. Those who say that just do not understand Scripture. He said, I am the door to the kingdom. I am the good shepherd. The Father and I are one. I have authority to lay down my life and authority to take it up again. No one can do this but God Almighty. It can't be faked, though many have tried. And some still do. Some still claim to be the Savior and will until he returns. There will be false teachers. We know that. And he will say, go away from me. I do not know you. Jesus is Messiah. He is Lord. The question becomes, will you follow him? Will we follow him? Will we submit to him and receive his grace? The question of who he is answered very clearly. We know what he's done. The only question to answer is, who are we? Will we accept his grace? Will we give ourselves to him faithfully and follow him? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Music team, would you come? We want to give you an invitation this morning. If you have not followed Jesus, if you have not decided and declared, I want to follow Jesus for the rest of my days, then we want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. You just need to walk to the front and we'll counsel you and pray with you, but you need to put feet to that decision. I know you feel like it's embarrassing. You feel like I can't walk up in front of those people. Listen, there's nobody here that won't be pleased with what you're doing and will pray for you and do everything we can to help you. Would you stand? And if you need to come, you come on.